you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. The preacher says, vanity of all vanities. You get that, but this hidden life in God, you can see how these two lessons are opposed to each other. But as far as vanity goes, myself, when I hear that word vanity, don't really use it every day all the time. So every time I hear the word vain, you know what I think of? Carly Simon. Yeah, the song You're So Vain plays in my head, especially in the romance comedy movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, where towards the end, the couple there starts singing that song to each other. In that movie, it all has to do with a Vanity Fair type a publication using vain tactics that will lose the guy. And the song has to do with self-absorbed subjects who think the song is about them. And when you become that vain, we too will start to think that the song is about us. The song of daily life and living. Once again, as we gather as God's people on the Lord's Day, the song of the saints is not about how to lose the guy being Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Although he can be lost, forgotten about, and if you want to get rid of him, you can, if you strive for things that are below instead of things that are above. And it is these things that are below what the preacher in Ecclesiastes says time and time again is striving after wind. What does that mean? What does striving after wind mean? But one, it means that human accomplishments, however dazzling, cannot secure lasting satisfaction. Two, that every skillful work done out of man's envy of his neighbor exposes his self-absorbed ambition and his misplaced motivation. And then three, chasing wind is like chasing restless desire. It is never content with what it has. Yeah, I know, Ecclesiastes seems like a drab book, but it is the Word of God nonetheless, which wisely teaches that the meaning of life sought apart from God is hard to comprehend. It's as if it is hidden. We don't like hiddenness, unless it's sin. We like to hide that. But the cheery life we are supposed to live as Christians, it is as if God wants to conceal that from us. And our reply is often, if he wants to do that to me, then fine. I'll just eat, drink, and enjoy the things that I can see. On the contrary, your life, your true life, is a hidden one. It is because of the new life, life in Christ, that you get having been raised from the dead with Christ, from deadness, from the deadness of your old life. But the deadness of your old life, you probably can still see, comes out sometimes, comes out of us, but not the new one. The new life is hidden. It's as if you don't see it. We live the hidden life. So this is the profundity in the Colossians verse there in chapter 3, that you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The verse from Colossians has to be one of the most intriguing in all of Scripture, don't you think? You have died. But I'm sitting right here, you say, as surely as I live and breathe. No, to die is to be separated. You have to be separated away from certain things, like sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are what have been put to death. And those are what you do not want to resurrect or even have resurrected. And that whole list there that Paul gives, by the way, all of it equates to idolatry, all of them. Not just covetousness, but the way the passage reads is all those things are idolatry. Idolatry means to love something or something above God. And it is here where Jesus teaches, as he did to the crowd that day, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now get that Jesus is not preaching out on riches. He doesn't tell you how to spend your money. He He is not a judge or arbitrator that settles how you should divide your money amongst people, places, and things. That is why when we want what others have, we do not pray to Jesus, "Make him give it to me, Jesus," what this man was doing. "Make him give me that. I don't have enough. He has too much." No, Jesus had nothing to do with that kind of stuff. He never meddled with any kind of earthly settlements in his 3-year ministry. And as far as inheritances go, yes, Jesus did come to secure an inheritance, but not an earthly one, only a heavenly inheritance for man, that he might make men joint heirs with him of the kingdom. And in light of that, it did not matter then whether heirs were justly dealt with or not on earth. It is the heavenly inheritance that matters, where there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all in all. Whether rich or poor, Christ is in them all. You see, everything is a treasure, no matter the portion, because everything we have comes from him. Yet the world measures man by adding up what he has. Jesus does not add up what we have, because what we have is perishable. He is more concerned with who you are rather than what you have, for who you are is imperishable. So Jesus, in usual fashion, will illustrate this better for us in a parable. The land, that is the ground, of a rich man produced plentiful. And because of that, the man is running out of storage space. "What shall I do?" he asks. And that question is asked to himself. He does not raise his eyes to God. "What shall I do with this, God, to perhaps gain wisdom from on high?" No, instead he decides to build his own private storage. Man from the get-go is not very wise, because unlike today, there was no such thing as preservatives. The grain and the goods perished if stored a long time. Their shelf life expired. So see what happens when reasoning with yourself like that? You become irrational. Reasoning with yourself is like saying you get to pick your own expiration date, how long you will live. So that's why Jesus calls him a fool. And Jesus is speaking on behalf of God the Father. "This night your soul is required of you. So then who gets your stuff?" Like it or not, someone is getting your stuff. And sometimes that's a bad thing to them because they don't want to have to deal with all that property or possessions when you leave this earth. It can be a headache. Our possessions we leave behind are meant to be for others. And Christ is in those possessions for the good of those who no longer have us present. So there is no wrong with the rich man enlarging his farm. Good, his facilities were growing. But what was wrong was leaving God and others out from the plans, out of the equation for it. And as our pain when we leave this earth is left behind, others will feel the pain that we leave behind. So too are our possessions. But here's the thing about those barns. Those granaries then were actually vaults, underground depositories. So you could say he was burying his goods. He was hiding them, concealing them. And when you conceal what God gives you, you are making yourself out to be a judge and arbitrator over yourself. Because only God can do the hiding. The hidden life is not found in the ground, though. It is found in Christ. So the difference between those two is the covering. Are you covered by the earth, or are you covered by Christ? This profound message and passage about being hidden in Christ does denote not being detected. Means to escape notice. And certainly the Christian life now does escape the notice of the world. Escapes the notice of the world because of its lusts and its passions. That's why the old Adam in us encourages us to have all kinds of evil desires, to be moved by society and their examples, then do what we hear and see other people do. An account of those things, the wrath of God is coming. See, first Christ came to bury those things. Sin, lust, passions, idolatry. He came to obliterate them in his big vault, which is the cross, which he prepared in advance to do. And you see, he buries them in the grave that he was in. So he does not get angry when you leave things behind. He gets angry when you want to bury that junk up. When you dig up anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk, it is foolish to dig them up, lest you want to take those with you on the night your soul is required. Instead, be renewed in knowledge after the image of God. See, the image of God is the very opposite of idolatry. And so in that way, Christ flips the barn around. He buries sin and raises the fruits that endure. But this is the hidden life, true treasure for you. It is the hidden life which is the true purpose-driven life, prosperity in the covering of Christ. But perhaps it cannot be expounded upon enough, this whole saying that you are dead and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. So you really need to go back to the whole chapter before this in Colossians chapter 2 to fully grasp it. Because there Paul addresses attaining wealth. And he says that comes to understanding the mystery, which is Christ himself, in whom are all the hidden treasures. So don't be deluded by the world or taken captive by it, rather than Christ. Colossians 2 verse 8. He goes on, for in him dwells all the fullness of the deity bodily, verse 9. And then verse 10, you are, that's indicative, are complete, which means crammed up to the full. And he is the head of all rule and authority. And in chapter 2, he goes on to relate being circumcised by the circumcision of Christ to baptism. In verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, the vault of the rich fool that he tore up his barns to make was underground, remember? Buried with him in baptism, in which then you were raised up with him through faith. Faith that God works, as in baptism, which was once witnessed and seen, yet now is hidden. Who can see it? Who can see your baptism? You ever ask someone if they can see your baptism? Hey, you see me? I'm baptized. Or anyone ever come up to you and say, my, oh my, you look baptized today. How about when you leave and go home? Well, those in your home or somebody that comes to visit you, step into your foyer or living room and take a step back and comment, I can see you got Jesus inside of you today. Yeah, it shows just like an x-ray in there, the piece of bread, the wine in there. That's Jesus dancing inside of you. I can see it. No, doubtful they will speak like that. Because your life is hidden. It is hidden with his. It's hidden in the mystery, which is the true wealth and treasure for the church who is in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, Christ is the arbitrator of the mystery, that inheritance. Because of the vault of the cross, you have stored up for you a great inheritance. So do not take that arrangement away from the church. The hiddenness with Christ and God is revealed in holy, non-perishable food, Christ's flesh, the prize that cannot be taken away. It's the whole divine service. Here, it's the place where this hidden in Christ happens, and the glory is revealed when on the altar Christ appears, and then his glory becomes your glory. And that is the crop that will never perish. It is the beanstalk and bedrock of immortality. That when that kind of hidden life is lived, you not only know who you are, but you also know what you have. And the more evident this becomes as you get closer and closer to Christ calling you home, this is the knowledge of the reception, of the reward, the inheritance that we get as slaves to Christ. Which means, if you're a slave of Christ, having all personal ownership rights assigned to the owner. That's what a slave is. So the rest of chapter 3, we didn't read it all chapter 3 today, but you need to go home and finish that. Verses 12 through 25. Because after you get that nasty list in verse 5, you get it exchanged. That's the end of Colossians 3. The nasty list gets exchanged for these, Paul writes, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, and putting on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. That's why you have to read the rest of chapter 3 to get it. You put it all together and understand this great exchange that has taken place here. And all this is the hidden life, union with Christ. But it only comes through the mysteries of the faith, the sacraments. They are Christ's inheritance. They are how we are made fellow sons and daughters of God. So in the end, the song is about you, is the hidden life in God. That's the song that's about you. And no, that's not vain or vanity, folks. Nor is it a chasing after the wind. That's simply a joyful, joyful life done under the Son. In the name of the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.